This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. We've been talking with some of our state lawmakers in Northwest Indiana about the 2021 General Assembly session that has ended recently. And today we're talking with State Senator Karen Talion, who's a Democrat from the Ogden Dunes area. And Senator Talion, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, first, let's get your general assessment of how the 2021 session went.
I have to say, in 15 years, it was probably the strangest session ever because of COVID. People weren't in the hallways. I didn't see the House members for, you know, weeks because they were across the street in the government center. The lobbyists, the people who normally come down to, you know, talk to legislators, they just weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very quiet, and it just felt like I was living in a different world.
Did you feel that because of the fact that the pandemic was still pretty much taking over everything, although you're able to meet at least in some places, some in-person work, I'm sure, some session work, of course, that was done, I'm sure, by Zoom and other virtual sources, as could be, that maybe it's a possibility that that's what changed everything so dramatically, that at least in your view, that it changed everything dramatically for how the, not only how the session was handled, but the outcome as well?
Well, that's really hard to tell. It certainly changed everyone's perspective. We had very few meetings with people. The first half of the session, you know, people come down. There are receptions. There are lunches in the atrium where you just meet people and talk to them, and that didn't happen. Now, on the other hand, everyone became an expert at Zoom. Or the equivalent, you know. We had a lot of meetings that way. So I don't know. I can't. My own mind says it probably didn't change the outcome. It just changed the general tone.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, if you will, at least your thoughts on some of the measures that came up before session, in particular the ones that dealt with the Indiana environment. How did the session go as far as the environment's concerned in Indiana?
Well, you know, at the end of every session, I always say it was a good year, it was a bad year. For the environment, it was a bad year, not only on account of the bills that were heard, but some of the things that weren't heard, mm-hmm. and some of the things that didn't pass. So we, I'm sure you know, and a lot of the people listening will know, that the wetlands bill started off horrible, terrible, and ended up just bad. You know, the original proposal was to just deregulate all of Indiana's wetlands. And frankly, I'm going to tell you, you know, it was pretty clear from the talk that this was kind of a retribution start against IDEM and DNR for some of their practices having to do with wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
But my gosh, you know, you just don't throw out the whole system because are a couple of changes that need to be made. So it started off really bad, and I think that was supposed to be a call to them. But, you know, interestingly, first time I've ever seen this, Chris, that the governor's department head of IDEM, head of DNR, came to the hearing and testified against a Republican bill. That is highly unusual. The bill eventually changed. There are a lot of regulations still in place. Several definitions have changed, so it's hard to track exactly what the outcome will be. But, you know, it's not as bad as it was, but it's not as good as it was before session started.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition, I had a bill dealing with regulating coal ash.
Right.
And it was a very kind of detailed bill about what items should do on their regulations. And it was not given a hearing. But in the very end of session, there was a one-liner put somewhere that said, oh, item needs to do regulations about closing coal ash facilities. So it took them all of session and me and others pushing to at least get them to recognize that there was a problem. We also had a bill that would have done some... it would have moved along Indiana's solar and wind energy production.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, I mean, it was a controversial bill for a number of reasons. But in the end, instead of working it out, it just died. So, like I said, my assessment, bad year for the environment in Indiana General Assembly.
Did you have any measures that you introduced that made it through the session and possibly even have been signed by the governor?
Well, I had, it was a good year for some of the Justice Reform Act.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bill that was a large juvenile justice reform package that had been put together and worked on by a lot of stakeholders over several months. It had to do with not keeping juveniles in adult jails. It has to do with expungement of their misdemeanor records when they get of age, and also having to do with how you do assessments on kids to determine whether they're competent to stand trial. That bill passed out of the Senate, almost unanimously passed out of the House the same way. It's on its way to the governor's desk. I don't think it's officially been signed yet, but there may be a ceremonial signing on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big package. There were a lot of other packages that made it through, some money funding issues and reform issues on DCS, Department of Child Services, and just, you know, a number of things that were worked on by a lot of people that did make it through in the criminal justice side. And I'm on that committee. I have been on that committee for almost all my time in the Senate, and so it was good to be part of that.
We're talking with State Senator Karen Talion, who's a Democrat from Ogden Dunes, about the 2021 General Assembly session. And, of course, that was also because of the year that turned out to be a budget writing year. What's your assessment of how the new two-year state budget looks and going into its implementation now?
Well, Chris, I'm afraid I have to be a little partisan on this one. I'm calling it the Joe Biden budget, and it was great. It was the first time, I think, in my history that I actually voted for the budget. You know, the budget, as everybody knows, there are billions of dollars floating around the country right now in various programs, including to the state of Indiana. And so for the first time since the last recession in 2009, we actually had a really good school funding level. We were able to do some proposals that I had actually have been pushing for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, having mm-hmm. to do with, I'm calling it a rewrite, a refi, on the only pension fund that we have. It was from the pre-1996 teachers fund, and it's the only pension fund that Indiana has that is not at good funding levels. And so we were able to pay down. It's like paying down some of your mortgage and then refinancing the yearly payment, you know. We were able to put a bunch of money into that to kind of pay down the obligation. States all over the country are quite envious of that position. I also had a proposal that we could give out grants to schools, extra money, if they would agree to bring all of their teachers up to a minimum of $40,000 salary per year. It didn't work out exactly the way my proposal was, but now the new budget urges all the school systems to bring up that level to $40,000. And if they don't, they're going to have to explain themselves to the Department of Education. Generally, we have a lot of money. The forecast, not only for the state of Indiana, but nationally, is great. And I hate to say it, knock on wood, but we can't spend the money fast enough.
Not often you get to say that, I suppose. Or
that's
even
exactly
much,
right.
Much less think that, I suppose. You actually get to say it, to be sure. I know that there is one area that the General Assembly didn't address, and they're going to have to come back and address that, and they probably should have while they still had the time, and that's dealing with the redistricting issue. And there are reasons. I know they're having to basically take some time off. They didn't officially call sine die, as they call it, ending the official end of the session, but they have taken, I guess, an informal end of session, at least for now, to bring it up later. What are your thoughts about the redistricting issue that you all are going to have to come back to the State House and deal with later?
Well, of course, this is the big story of the session that hasn't been written yet. So normally, as everybody knows, we do a census every 10 years. At the end of the census year, they certify the results, official results, and then those results are turned over to every state legislature, who then has to redraw the map. Based on population. So all of, for example, our 50 state Senate districts need to have the same population. That's how we do this. So, but I believe that, you know, my Senate district has actually lost some population. Other areas have gotten bigger. So that all those boundaries need to shift around. And because of COVID, the official numbers have not been certified yet. We're only getting preliminary numbers, which means we can't officially draw the map. But we know that we have to draw the map before the end of this year, because we're not allowed to draw maps, change the boundaries in an election year. So it has to be done this year, before the elections in 2022. Now, I think people are right now, all four caucuses are working on preliminary numbers based on, you know, and then we'll probably shift them around when things get final. But, you know, this is something that takes a long time. I expect that there will be hearings in different parts of the state, showing people proposals for new maps and what their new district might look like. Because some people are going to have new state reps and new state senators.
Well, Senator Talian, thank you for spending time with us, going over your thoughts about not only the 2021 General Assembly session, but the work that's yet to come here for the unofficial end of the session, and in turn later in the year for the redistricting work that's ahead. And thank you for spending time with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, Chris. It's always good to talk to Lakeshore Public Radio and TV.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. Have you gotten your shot yet? All Hoosiers 16 and older have been eligible to receive COVID vaccines for a month now. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Mitch Legan tells us, the rate of vaccinations across the state is slowing, particularly in rural areas. And officials are becoming concerned about hesitancy.
Getting a coronavirus shot is easier than it's ever been. But in many areas around the state, demand is falling off.
We have people begging to get on the wait list. We can't get anybody.
Steve Lyde spent most of April preparing what would have been the largest vaccination clinic in rural Morgan County.
All right, sir, is this your first vaccine, I take it?
The state provided 1,200 doses, and he was excited to offer his residents the opportunity to protect themselves from COVID. But when the opportunity came, they weren't interested. The county had to cancel the clinic scheduled for last weekend.
We got looking at how many people signed up, and there's only 97 people. I had 40 medical professionals and volunteers going to show up just to conduct this clinic.
Despite the cancellation in Morgan County, the state passed an important milestone this week. A third of Hoosiers 16 and older are fully vaccinated. But Lyde says now he's not doing as many initial shots.
Mostly our people coming through are those receiving their second dose of Moderna. Very, very low percentage there for their first vaccines.
Dr. Chris Box and the Department of Health organized a news conference Wednesday to provide updates on the vaccine rollout and discuss trends.
We don't have any big announcements, just a lot of really good information to share, and a plea and an ask that you help everyone that you know in your family, your friends, and your community to get out there and get vaccinated.
The issue? Many of those who originally got the vaccine were older adults, most concerned about the virus. Now, many of those left are younger Hoosiers. And Dr. Dan Handel, chief medical officer for IU Health's South Central region, says many don't seem very interested in getting the vaccine.
There's still this sense of invincibility in younger adults. You know, either they haven't, they've scheduled it and they haven't gone yet, or they're still kind of waiting it out.
He says now, many of the people hospitalized with COVID that he's seeing are in their 20s and 30s. Brian Dixon has been tracking COVID data all pandemic for the Regent Street Institute. He says two populations have been the wariest of getting vaccinated, young blacks and young conservatives. Considering the state's demographic makeup, that could be an issue.
It is concerning, particularly for individuals who are in rural areas where we know that those areas also have a majority of people who lean conservative.
In largely rural Morgan County, Lyde says trust in the vaccine has plummeted.
When they hit the pause on the Johnson & Johnson, the bottom just fell out.
Those working the clinic in Martinsville end their days scouring Facebook for people who want the shot. It's largely been effective, but Lyde is concerned many of those who want a vaccine have already gotten one.
We've hit a wall, and the getting the trust back is beyond the local health departments. Morgan County and Shelby County, we don't have the financial resources like the other health departments do to run public service campaigns.
State officials said Wednesday they're doing everything they can to encourage people to get vaccinated.
We are working with the Rural Health Association, with Purdue Extensions and Farm Bureau to determine how we can work together to increase that vaccination rate in our rural population.
The slowdown concerns Dixon, but he wouldn't say the state has hit a wall yet. He was expecting a lull considering the mass rush at the beginning, when people were scheduling shots months out.
If you have some hot new product on the market, people rush into the stores to buy it. And then after it's been on the market for a few months, you start to see declining sales. So I don't think that this phenomenon that we're observing right now is really any different than some of those other scenarios.
Hitting the proverbial wall is possible, though. He says the convenience of walk-in appointments should help, especially with younger Hoosiers. But social pressure and private businesses requiring vaccines could also be keys in getting back to normal life. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Mitch Legan.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte, and we've had an opportunity to find out about a big awards ceremony just recently. This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Northwest Indiana Partners for Clean Air is the organization that has honored some of Northwest Indiana's top air quality leaders, not only business, but organizations, and announced the winners of three college scholarships. It all happened at Friday's 2021 virtual awards ceremony. And with us in studio to talk about it, we have Lori Cagle with South Shore Clean Cities. And with us on the phone from his office here in Northwest Indiana, Charles Brittenfeld. He is the Northwest Indiana representative for the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. And thank you all for being with us on the program today.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Charles, if you will, let's talk first here about the importance of the awards from IDEM's standpoint. And I know Commissioner Bruno Piggott has always along the way has encouraged Northwest Indiana and Hoosier residents in general to participate in ways to be able to bring the best out of the efforts to keep the environment clean. Tell us more about the creation of the awards.
The awards were created several years before my time. But the whole gist of it is we want to award businesses that are doing their part through voluntary effort to help reduce air pollution here in Northwest Indiana. We recognize that, you know, sometimes that we have consent decrees that force different businesses and industries to do different things to lower their air pollution. But our awards are more specific. We want them to be done through voluntary actions, and that's very important to us. And as you can see with the people that won the awards and the different industries and businesses and municipalities that have won the awards over the past years, they're all really standout companies, and they're all doing their part every single year to reduce the overall air pollution in Northwest Indiana.
Now, Laurie, if you will, go down the list of the winners for the business and the industry awards, as well as the governmental awards, too. There are some from Northwest Indiana that maybe people kind of expect, but maybe some that they are very surprised to hear about.
Sure. It really does cross, you know, kind of all boundaries. So NIPSCO received the Business Award, and it was really for their work with our organization, with South Shore Clean Cities, on a project called Project Plug-In. They assisted with making 24 new public electric vehicle charging stations in 18 Northwest Indiana communities a reality. And they did that by helping to offset matching funds. When you have get grant funding, there's generally a match or a portion that the recipient needs to pay. And they helped offset the cost by $500 per station. So that was great. Then we had the Port of Indiana Burns Harbor. They received the Industrial Award. And we often say, you know, the port is kind of out of sight, out of mind. People don't realize all that's going on there. Mm-hmm. But they've made tremendous strides in reducing their own impact and that of its of their tenants. And then there's the Porter County Sheriff's Office received the Municipal Award in large part due to their addition of 11 new hybrid squad cars. And then the Mark Siminski Bicycle Award went to Mitch Barloga. Everybody, I think, knows and loves Mitch, as do I. He's the active transportation planner for the Northwestern Indiana Regional Planning Commission, or NERPC. And it was really for Mitch's work in helping with trails in and around the region over the years.
Well, he's been very lucky. I know that he's picked up quite a bit of good funding from the state here for the next round of trails. It's nice to hear that not only has he been able to, through his work with NERPC, to be able to bring the money in so the trail projects will continue on, but he's picked up a little award of his own. Did he expect that?
He did not. He was very surprised and said that he was very pleased and thankful for the award, and we're thankful for the work that he's done for trails in our region.
Now, Charles, from IDEM's standpoint on the awards, what are your thoughts about the NIPSCO and the Port of Indiana Burns Harbor and the Porter County Sheriff's Department picking up their awards?
Well, we're very happy to give them away. They've all done really great work. You know, we're especially happy for NIPSCO. They've been a partner in our Partners for Clean Air program for several years. And Mitch Barloga, I mean, you can't say enough about Mitch and all the work that he's done up here in Northwest Indiana for the trails and the greenways and the blueways. So, you know, we're so excited. And, you know, the Porter County Sheriff's Department is doing great work. You know, not only do we thank them for their service every single day, but they're also doing their part, and they're also expanding. Their goal is to get every single one of their squads to be a hybrid or electric of some sort. And, you know, the Port of Indiana, they're just continuing to do great work up there. They won the same award 2 years ago for some other things that they have done. So they're just continually and always improving what they're doing up there to help air quality here in Northwest Indiana. So we couldn't be happier to give these awards away to these great recipients.
Now, Laurie, I know there were three special awards, actually more scholarships, actually, than awards, although they are awards of their own right, that went out during the event on Friday, the Partners for Clean Air Scholarships, and the three very promising young people are going to have a little help going to college. Will you tell us who this year's winners are, the scholarships, and how they managed to be able to get them?
Sure, absolutely. So this is our second year awarding the scholarships. This program started last year with Partners for Clean Air, and we were able to give away two scholarships. This year, we were fortunate to be able to give away three, thanks to the support of the members and partners of Partners for Clean Air. This year's winners were Quentin Funderburg of La Lumiere School in the Port. He's going to attend Williams College to study chemistry and environmental science in the fall. Also to Lucia Otten of Valparaiso High School, who's going to go to Valparaiso University to study environmental studies in Spanish. And to Adelaide Young-Brust of South Central Junior Senior High School in Union Mills. Adelaide's going to attend Indiana University in Bloomington to study environmental and sustainability studies. The way that the scholarship program works. Scott Nelson of Wilcox Environmental Engineering, he is our scholarship committee chairman. I sit on the scholarship committee with Michael Cuss as well of the Michigan City Sanitary District. The students write an essay and have to answer several questions. It is a blind process for us to evaluate them. And we all score them individually, come together, discuss them. And these three rose to the top as our top winners. And we're just so excited. Can't wait to see what their futures hold.
And I imagine, too, that they've had to think long and hard, maybe, although maybe for them, since they're bright young people, not very hard, about what to follow the topic that was, I'm sure, offered to them of the essay contest. What was the topic this time around?
They have to answer a variety of questions about their own involvement in their own communities and in their schools. They have to answer what it is about clean air that's mm-hmm. important to them. Some of the challenges that they see and ways that they think that they can be addressed when it comes to clean air, and also talk about their intentions for their future studies and how they plan to make a difference when they go out into the world professionally. I should mention all of these three are going to 4-year traditional universities, but our scholarships were open to 2-year mm-hmm. colleges and to trade schools as well. So that's as long as you could demonstrate how you would tie that in with clean air, everybody was eligible. And we thought that was very important.
Well, that gives an opportunity for some young people who are maybe going to be attending, even Ivy Tech Community College, mm-hmm. or to go to maybe to a 2-year program someplace else. They still have an opportunity to apply for the award and maybe get the scholarship and be able to put it toward some good studies in the future too. It's good
absolutely.
To know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, if anybody's interested in having a chance to see all of this, I guess it has been recorded and it can be viewed. Tell us more about people wanting to check out the award ceremony this year.
Sure. It's actually the easiest way to do that is to go to our website, southshorecleancities.org, and under the news and events tab, you will see a resources page and there is a link there, or you can search South Shore Clean Cities on YouTube and see the recording there, as well as the acceptance speech videos from all three kids who won the awards, and hearing them firsthand about how much it means to them it's really touching, and I'm inspired. We're hoping to lessen their burden, right? Because we're leaving them the legacy of what they need to do to help improve clean air, and that's really what Partners for Clean Air does. It lessens the burden on them for their futures. But I can tell you, with kids like these, mm-hmm. Our future is in very good hands.
That's very good to know, Charles. Will you be able to kind of close this out? Tell us from what IDEM had to say about the awards that went out in particular. I know that that Commissioner Pigott was there as the keynote address. The keynote address speaker. What did he say about the young people that have picked up the scholarships this time around?
He's super proud of them. We shared the video with him. He couldn't be more happy. We're always talking about kind of the brain drain here in Indiana, and it's kind of I don't know what the words are, but When you read these essays and you see some of the bright young talent that we have coming up here, not only in Northwest Indiana, but it's from around the state. It's really good to see that kind of thing. And everybody's looking forward to we have that unique blend up here in Northwest Indiana of both industry and some very unique features in nature. And so when you see these young kids thinking about their impact at such a young age, we're gonna have a bright future ahead of us. And the Partners for Clean Air is really happy to be able to fund or help fund some of these kids' college education because it's really important for us to make sure that we can have a lasting impact. And, you know, our motto is it all adds up to clean air. So, you know, by helping out these individuals, we're really happy and hopefully that, you know, they'll use these scholarships to their best abilities and use their skills that they're going to learn at their colleges to bring those back to Indiana and continue to do some of the great work that IDEM does up here. And Bruno also did mention that, you know, that IDEM does have, we do also do have internships happening this summer. We pretty much have them every summer. Some are paid and some are unpaid. So he also wanted to make sure he got that out there, that if anybody's looking for an internship for the summer with IDEM, those are available as well.
Well, Charles, thank you very much for being with us. Charles Brittenfeld is the regional representative for the Indiana Office of Environmental Management. And with us, Lori Cagle, who is, of course, with South Shore Clean Cities, but she's also with Partners for Clean Air. And they've been talking about the 2021 awards that ceremony, virtual awards ceremony held this year on Friday. And thank you for being with us, and best of luck to everybody all who's participated in all the organizations and the scholarship recipients as well, too. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. That's it for today's program. We'll be back with you tomorrow.